opportunity. And I want to stress this with you because I want you to understand the significance of the speaker that we have with us in this opportunity that we have before us. Rabbi Liebtag is really internationally known for his teaching of Tanakh, his teaching of Tanakh period, and his teaching people, teachers, how to teach Tanakh. And those are two distinct areas. Our teachers are going to have the pleasure of having a workshop given by him right after Mincha. And they're going to remain for a workshop, and the elementary school teachers are going to join us as well. Some of you may yourselves enjoy the Parshiyot HaShavua Gil Yonah, the sheets that he produces. It's on the website from Gush Etzion, which is his base, even though he teaches in many, many different places, boys' schools, girls' schools, and the like. I don't want to steal too much time. I just want to add one very important point, which I think he's going to also pick up on, and that is the importance of Torah Eretz Yisrael. We have Rabbi Liebtag, who represents Torah Eretz Yisrael. Many, many students in the yeshivot and seminaries have opportunities, either on a regular basis or from time to time, to take advantage of his erudition in the area of Tanakh. And it's people like Rabbi Liebtag that you will have the unique opportunity to interface with and learn from by spending time in Israel. And as I said, we're very fortunate to be able to take a little bit of Eretz Yisrael and bring it here. And you can do that on a weekly basis also by subscribing to his shiurim that come regularly. So without any further ado, it is my pleasure to call upon Rabbi Liebtag to provide us with the shiur.
First of all, this is my first time I've been to the building. But I guarantee once you go to Israel, you won't find a building. You might find different kind of teachers, but a building is like that you'll find. The system's so terrible. But I want you to, I'm mentioning that because I want you to appreciate the nice setting you have. Sometimes you grow up with something, but as an outsider coming in, I'm impressed. Now we've had the building also, the way it's set up, and the books you have. It's been taking me years, for example, to try to convince teachers to use like Class Corinth and Torah Klein and things like that. And when you see a classroom, full of them. So I mentioned to the rabbi before that there's a word in Yiddish called Nahat. Is that it? You heard of it? Nahat. Okay. So you know Rabbi Levi did, right? Or was it? So he was my student, like you, about 15, 20 years ago. I had a yeshiva. And when I get students saying, go, every time we see something, oh, we learn this already, it's not believing. So, in some ways, it kind of ruins the class a little bit. Okay. I heard from Rabbi Berman that you're learning this year, Sefer Bereshit. You finished the end, or? What do you have? Everyone's learning the same thing?
Yes.
Yeah. And what are you up to?
Oh,
the beginning, okay. I decided to pick a topic just a little bit later on, in the middle of the book, like smack in the middle. And it's a topic about Sefer Bereshit as a whole, but it'll be a topic which will be a little bit of parshanut, but I want to use it as a springboard to give an understanding about Sefer Bereshit. When students study Sefer Bereshit, you always have questions, it's good to have questions. But the things that bother you all the time is how come this happened, how come this didn't happen, how come we learned about this, and now we want to know what happened. And something that comes up a lot is always, when you're learning Chumash, is what am I reading? What kind of book am I reading? And the first assumption almost all the students have is I'm sort of reading a Jewish history book. This is the history of how the world was created, how the world did this, what happened to the Mabul, the life of the Avot. And you also learn history, I'm sure, in school. And even though you can learn history from Chumash, something to pay attention to, and the purpose of the book is not just to teach you history. And therefore, all your teachers, when they teach you Tanakh, and sometimes it bothers students, you know, oh, here's a history book, how come they're making all these things up? No, what were they trying to kid? Sometimes, you know, they're reading this plastic this way, and what this means. By the time we finish that, I want you to give an example of how to appreciate where Chumash isn't just coming to teach you history, it's coming to give you a lesson about life, or about a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the show I want to do today is an example of how to take something that seems to be just a little bit of history, a little story, and find a little extra meaning in it. The topic I think we advertised was the question, did the Avot keep mitzvot? And I'm sure you've heard sometimes, who's heard about what mitzvot the Avot kept? Heard the topic before? Yeah? The Avot kept Shem Mitzvot B'nei Noah. Any other ones? Yeah? Pesach? Who kept Pesach? Avram and who else? What story do we know that they kept Pesach? Yeah, when they... No, actually, that when the three angels, when they visited Avram, they were in common. Remember? Remember, Sarah makes cake, yeah? Yeah, and then, but the next day when they go to Lot, Lot beats the matzah. So Rashi brings down it was Pesach. That's a huge topic. But that's one of many places where it seems like, which was a little strange though, right? Now when you hear that, everyone chuckles a little, don't they? But wait, why is it cute that... So how do you commemorate something that didn't happen yet? So statements like that, when you learn Chumash much more in detail, you'll see how beautiful a statement like that about matzah, are they coming to tell you exactly what happened? Or that statement by Chazal, that they're eating matzah because it was Pesach, is coming to show a beautiful connection between what happened in Sodom, about a corrupt society that was mistreating people, and how God intervened in that society, and how Am Yisrael's job is to fix that society, and what happened, what the Egyptians did, it was life in Sodom and life in Egypt, right? There's a beautiful connection between them, a thematic connection, and that's what the rabbis sort of are talking about. And that's an example of what I want to bring up before. When you read sometimes little words by Parshanim, that sound a little cute or funny, like to a high school student, when you learn them in much more in depth, you can appreciate them a lot better. You know, that kind of statement, are they coming to tell you history? That's not, but they're coming to tell you a thematic connection through a little historical quirk. I want to get to work on the shir. And the topic was the Avot keeping mitzvot. There's one pasuk, which sort of is the source for everything. There's another one, I'm sure you heard, that the Avot kept not only all the laws of the Bible, but what else? They kept all the, even what's called the Rabbanan. They kept Chumim, they, you know, they didn't carry on Shabbos, they had a whole set of things which was mitzvot. And Parshat Toldot in the beginning, we're going to learn Perek Chavav. We have a classic problem of a father taking over for a son. Right? We have a great father, famous, etc., and a son who sort of inherits the company. Okay? And we have the classic problem of what's called second generation. I'm sure if you've learned that before. Have you learned like the difference between Abraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov? Yeah. Oh, you asked about Bereshit Aleph?
Yeah.
Oh boy, I'm sorry. I think there's enough for we have first line. It's okay. That's why we have the daf. It's okay. So, but yeah, if you have chumashim, that should be enough. Once you have chumashim, we'll sort of have to add them. We'll be okay. But you can pass this page out in a minute. And actually, if you have a sitter, we'll be fine also. I want to do the psukim at the beginning of Parshat Toldot, and we'll just review the story, which I'm sure you remember from years back. Yitzchak, right? In Parshat Toldot, the Torah focuses on Yitzchak, and there's a famine in the land. What does Yitzchak do when there's a famine? What did Avram do when there was a famine? He went to Mitzrayim. What did Yitzchak do? But what did he want to do? He wanted to go to Mitzrayim also, and God tells him, don't leave. Okay. Now, after telling him that he can't leave, right, God gives a reason why he can't leave. And that's what we're going to begin with in Perek Chavav. I'll just read slowly for those who don't have a Chumash with them. In the first Pasuk Aleph talks about the famine, and God tells him in Pasuk Bet, don't go down to Egypt. Name the land. We'll start with Pasuk Gimel. Okay. In Perek Chavav, Pasuk Gimel. I'll read slowly for those who don't have a Chumash, because we're going to use mostly the daf of the Parshanim. God tells Yitzchak, Gur ba'aretz hazot ve'yeh imcha v'avarachaka, ki lecha lo zaracha, tev et kola atzot eva, ki boti et hashvah, shirishpati l'avram adicha. What's God tells them to do? Stay in this land. And I'll bless you here, Because why? This is the land I set aside to give you to fulfill the shvua, the oath that I made with Avram your father. Then God continues, Berbeti Zarachak of Chokmei Hashemayim, he repeats the same promises he made to Avram Avinu, Bitbarachu Bezarachak Kokei Haaretz, and the pasuk which we're going to deal with is pasuk Kei. After telling Yitzchak, you stay in the land because this is the land I promised your father, and I'll bless you here, etc., then we give the finale. What's he say? Ekev Asher Shema Avram B'Kodi. Why? Because Avram listened to me. Vayishmor Mishmarti Mitzvotaychu Kutai B'Torotai. For those who don't have a chumash, I'll repeat the pasuk one more time. Ekev Asher Shema Avram B'Kodi. Because Avram listened to me. Vayishmor Mishmarti Mitzvotaychu Kutai B'Torotai. What did he keep? My Mishmar, my Mitzvot, and my Torah, and my Chukim, and my Torah. You follow the pasuk? Now, when that story, when this is over, one more half of the line. Vayeshev Yitzchak v'Grar, and then there's a whole story with Yitzchak and Grar. The whole story continues. Yitzchak with Abimelech, there's a whole issue with again, the story that Yitzchak and his wife with Abimelech, and then later he gets, he has some arguments. Perachavav and Parshat Kodosh. Now, Hashem doesn't only tell Yitzchak, no, you're chosen, and you have to stay in the land. He gives him a reason. Why? Because Avram listened to me and he kept all my different laws. Now, when you see a pasuk like that, what's the first question that comes to mind? When you get a hold of it, God kept you. What laws? And what list do we have? What does it say? Ekev Asher Shema Avram B'Kuli, Vayishmor Mishmarti Mitzvotaychu Kutai B'Torotai. So, if you're not, let's say you're not in shul, and not just like getting it over with. Let's say you're studying the psukim. Got the idea? And so what comes up? You want to know what laws did he keep? So what does the pasuk say he kept? Mishmarti, mitzvotai, chukotai, v'torotai. So what question are you going to ask yourself? Not you, and anyone reading the pasuk. What's the obvious question? But how do you know they're not giving yet? So we got to work on what? Before you can tell about what's the difference between each word, what do you have to know? What each word is. Okay, no, the Torah says he kept all these different things. Mishmarti, 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 right? What do you want to know? What each word means? Do you follow? We're going to begin with that. And then with that we'll begin the shift. God tells Avraham Avinu, I've kept Mishmarti, 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 Mishmarti. And when you read the pasuk, you want to know what each word means. Now, how would, let's say it bothered you. What would you do as a student, as a high school student? What would you do? I'm just asking you, sir, what would you do? You see the words, what was the first thing you would do? Okay. That's elementary school, that's the rabbi. Right? Junior high school, couldn't care less. In high school, right? What happens in high school? Right? Yeah, what do you look up where? Before Shabbat. By the way, what's the first parshan that everyone looks at? Way before Rashi. Especially people in America.
Translation.
The translation. Okay. I'm pointing that out because every translation is? It's a commentary. Now, the purpose of every translation isn't always a commentary. Some are and some aren't. Because it's a translation, there's always some type of commentary. What happens in the word pop? If one can bring the word with it. Okay. So that's the... Now, does anyone have English with them? Everyone, yeah. Okay, what's it say there? My commandments, my edicts, my safeguards, and my Torah. And I'm sure, if you want to have fun one time, let's say you're not so bored, but anytime you have a pasuk like that, pull out of the shelf different translations. You know, pick out, your King James Bible, your Art Scroll, your, JPS, whatever the different translations are. Heard so much. And you see, it's so much fun when you see all these different translations. It's always a lot of fun to do. I'm going to write the pasuk on the board for you so you can see. Ekev Asher Shama Abraham B'Kodi, right? Vayishmor Mishmarti 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 Mishmarti. Is that better now? Okay, you can see? So look how many different things we have. Avram Shema B'Kodi, That's one. Okay? Vayishmor mishmarti, mitzvotai, mitzvotai, mitzvotai. And I need to know what the words mean. So how would most people translate this? He kept my laws, he listened to me, he kept my laws, my laws, my laws, my laws. Right? Now, even if I look it up in English and find different words, so what's it mean to us? A bunch of different laws. Because what's in a name? That what we call it the mitzvah? I got to keep, more or less. And what does each word mean? Now, let's say you read the English translations, you weren't happy with them. Okay? What would you do next? You would look in? Yeah? Ebenezer, you could look in the Parshanim. No. We're going to see Ebenezer. Now, what I want to do, my point of the share today, is I want to try to understand, before we look in the Parshanim, to appreciate what they're saying, how to think about a pasuk. I will take an example. Because how did the Parshanim know what the words meant? How did Ebenezer know what the words mean? Right? Who taught him? Right? And who taught Rashi? And who taught Ramban? Now, it couldn't be the same teacher, why? Because they wouldn't be arguing if they had the same. Get the point? What did they do? What did the Parshanim do? They thought about it. Now, and they're going to reach different conclusions. The next year, we're trying to understand why. But before we do that, we're going to do it ourselves. Okay? That's what we're going to do. Let's think a little bit about, let's say you're a Parshan. How are you going to look at a pasuk like this? I want to understand what each word means. Okay? Give me different approaches that I can do. Try to think of different approaches of how I can go about understanding what each word means. Okay? Okay, I can do what's called a word search. What can I do? Where else in Chumash do I have the word Shema B'Koli? Where else in Chumash do I have the word Mishmeret? Where else in Chumash do I have the word Mitzvah, etc.? And if I can find the use of that word throughout Chumash, what do I get? I get a definition of what the word means. Then what do I do? Let's say I know the difference, like you said, between a Mitzvah and a Chukah. So let's say I have a good definition. Then what do I do? And then what? And how do I know what he did? Let's say I know what a mitzvah is, and a mishmar is. Then what do I have to do? What mitzvot is it talking about? I'll clarify it again. I'll try to explain it again. Okay? Let's say I find what it means, what the word mitzvah means. It says that Avram kept his mitzvot.
So go check on where Avram went.
Yeah, so what did he keep? According to that, what did he keep? Whatever mitzvah, whatever is called a mitzvah later in Chumash, is that what he kept? Is that what you're saying? Let's say I go through Chumash and find out tons of mitzvot. Vayem shmoat yishmoat kol, what did we say this morning in Shema? Vayem shmoat yishmoat kol mitzvotai asher nochim mitzvot hayom. So there's a whole bunch of mitzvot over there in Shema. So that Avram keep, every time it says the word mitzvah in Chumash, Avram kept those words? Okay. So either it's something specific or maybe it's a category. You follow? If it's a category, then what do I have to do? Let's say I understand mitzvah as a category, not a specific law. So it's a type of mitzvah. Then what do I have to do? Yeah? And? Connection between that and? Between that and? There's something really simple. It says all these things that Avram did. What do you have to look at? Perfect, right? It says Avram did all these things. What do we need to do? We have to look at Chumash, all the things that Avram did. And in all the things that he did, what do we have to do now? We have five different categories of definitions of laws. I have a whole bunch of stories about Avram Avinu. What are we going to do now? We're going to see which of these things that Avram did fit into those categories. Okay? Yeah. Someone raised their hand before? You were saying, yeah? A little louder? Oh, but same thing he said. What were you going to say? What I said, even better. Okay. You follow what we have to do? That's one definitely legitimate approach. I see what the word means. Now, there's a simpler approach. What could that be? Any other approach you can think of? Without having to go farther into Chumash? Yeah? And what the word means? Here, and see what the shorish means. Okay, for example, what's the shorish of the word mitzvah?
Divan.
Which means a commandment. Okay. Did Avram ever fulfill a commandment? Yeah, give me an example of a commandment. That's pretty much of a commandment.
All,
got it?
All is this.
Or maybe all, but maybe the Akedah.
Okay.
So maybe, and then we have to see other commandments. Then we have to see, is Lech Lecha a mitzvah or a hope or a mishpat, etc. See what might be good. Any other approach you can think of that might work? Soon we'll see them inside in a minute. But there's a couple other easier ones. Let's say you were lazy. No, as far as an approach, what each one means. So if you want to go and pick what he did. Oh, we'll start seeing examples in a minute. I'll show you the lazy ones in a minute. Who said Eben Ezra before? Who was that? Yeah. How come he said looking at Eben Ezra? Okay. Okay, so we're going to start with him. Okay? Let's see what he does. I'm purposely skipping Rashi, even though I shouldn't, because I want to save it for the end. Okay. Take a look in Rashi. Does everyone have a page? Everyone got one of these? Everyone got? Oh, here. I know he's good. There's too many left over here. Yeah. There's got to be people who didn't get. Only here? That's it. Okay. Let's look at Eben Ezra. Okay? Because Eben Ezra is pretty difficult. Want to be reading it?
No.
Okay. Everyone have it? You know which one is Eben Ezra, the one on the left? It didn't say Eben Ezra, it said?
Rabbah.
Who's Rabbah?
Rabbah.
Okay, very good. Okay. On the left side. See, it says Vayishmor Mishmarti. Okay? Look what he says. Vayishmor Mishmarti. Anyone want to try? I'll read it. Shem Klau, Koma Shuchaya Vishmor. Mimitvot Chukimit B'Torot. Can anyone explain what Eben Ezra said? Okay, so he said, I'll explain what you said, or what Eben Ezra said. What's he saying? How is he saying? What's Vayishmor Mishmarti mean? Yeah?
It's a general term for.
It's a general term for what follows. Yeah, so
we
just knocked one off. Got it? Instead of looking for what it means, right? I stayed one, what? I'm saying that's the general category. Mishmarti means everything, including, is a big category for the subcategories of Mitzvot Kukim Mishmarti. It's like saying, I ate all my fruit, apples, oranges, and pears. Right? So it could be repetitive if I say I eat apples, oranges, and pears. But maybe not. But people always say I eat a lot of fruit. Got the idea?
I think it's even more effective. You just said,
okay.
That is saying what Kobe is, and that he's saying again.
Okay, and therefore, Eben Ezra doesn't stop right here. V'yitachen. See what he says next? And it could be. What's Eben Ezra doing? First thing he says is don't overdo it. Because what Eben Ezra is saying, it could mean what? That Avram kept everything I told him to do. But when I ask you the question, everyone assumes I have to be specific, that I have to find the meaning exactly what each word is and what Avram did in his life. But what Eben Ezra is saying in the beginning, the sympathy is, I call it the lazy explanation. What is it? He kept everything I said to keep, and I don't have to go and find every single thing. I mean, he kept everything. Like, later, when you, do you apply to college yet? Okay, so your teachers always have to write these, what do they call those things?
Recommendations.
So, this student is what? Diligent, wonderful, like, nice, inquisitive. You have all these, a whole list of how they. Why can't you just raise a good student? Right? That's not enough. What do you have to do? All these, now, could the teacher go back and say exactly what this, and this, what it applies to? But that's why people write. Right? That's what I've been interesting in the beginning. I'm just bringing an example from the application. What are those called? Recommendation, because that's human nature. That's how people write. Okay, but now then he continues. V'itachen. Okay, what do you think? V'itachen. It could be that maybe they do have something specific. Okay. V'itachen ha-mitzvah. What's mitzvah? What might that be? What is that? That's what you guys said, didn't it? Eben Ezra, exactly what you said on your own before you said Eben Ezra. Correct. What's mitzvah lechacha? Or what else? Gam. Tachnat bincha. You know what that is? That's Akedah. Is that a tzivui? Big time. Now that he had what he got, now that he had mitzvah, let's see what he does with the next one. You guys follow? Vahukim. Now, before you read on, what are hukim? What did you learn what hukim are? Unexplainable. Like, unexplainable laws. Who's heard that explanation for hukim? Something that's unexplainable. Okay. Now look at the Eben Ezra. Okay. What are hukim? Hey, chukot Hashem sheyelech adam aharei matzav kasher fresh bepasuk shetnes. What do you say? What are chukim? No, no. He explains in the pasuk about chatan for chukim are, but what are chukim? Hem chukot Hashem sheilech adam achrei matzav. It's basically a way of life. That's a whole shiur what a good chok means. But not everyone holds that a chok is something that doesn't make sense. It's inexplicable. A chok means something else in Hebrew. Remember we have to know what the source of the word is? Who knows what the source of the word chok is? Chok, does chok mean something that doesn't make sense? In Hebrew. If you learn about the luchot, there's what's called the chakuk. When something gets engraved, like a monument, you engrave the words, that's called chakuk, or chok. Something that's set. In English, the word is statute. But meaning, something that's set that doesn't change. It's unchangeable. That's a chok. Now, Rabbi Ezra said the chok is set facing a people's traits, the way they act. We're going to return to that word later on when we get to Sforno.
We have...
Yeah, we'll make it fine. We have till when?
About 4.
Okay. So we'll go on. Basically, that's the way of life. Okay. Then we have Torah, it's number 31. But Torah, what's Torah? What did he say here? Shema Latzmo, meaning? Torah means? He did Mila. Now, what did develop better? What's Torah mean? What's the word Torah? What's the source of the word Torah? Lohorot means? That is to teach. What are horot? You buy a new toy or a new computer and you open up the instructions. Okay. A hora'ar or a set of instructions. Right. When Abram got the milah, brit milah, he got a set of instructions to keep. On the eighth day, you take your son, etc., etc. Got it? So that's what he calls that Torah. Okay? Hu b'banav avdov. Okay? Ufasuk. Okay? Ufasuk. Patar v'mitzvah. Aver mitzvah. What's he saying? Listen. When, later on in the Rosh Chodesh, we'll get to them. We'll get to them later. Okay. Let's take a look in Rashbam. On the other side, you'll see a totally different direction. What did Rashbam just say? Everyone see Rashbam on the right side? He goes back to the first pasuk. What did he say? That's talking about the Akedah. By the way, according to Ebenezer, what was the Akedah? What word was the Akedah? The mitzvah, remember? What did he say? What did Ekev Hashishmat Bukhali? What did he do? How come he said that's the Akedah? At the end of the Akedah, what did it say? At the very end of the Akedah, God tells Avram Avinu, I'm going to bless you with better wine. It says the exact same words, Ekev Hashishmat Bukhali. Remember we read it on Rosh Hashanah. Actually, we read it 2 days ago, didn't we? 3 days ago, okay. That's why everyone remembers. It uses the exact same word, Ekev Asher Shema T'Pakoli. And therefore, when the Pasuk says, Ekev Asher Shema Avram B'Koli, what's it referring to? The Akedah. What did Rashbam do? What's Rashbam's approach? He does not a topic search, but a word search. What's Ebenezer going to do? He's going to take all the stories of Avram Avinu from Lech Lecha, till where? Till Todot, or till Avram dies in his entire life, and look for what? Not for category. He's going to look for the exact same word. Got it? I want you to appreciate the two different approaches. Rashbam's going to do a word search. He's going to search from, he's going to open up in his computer from Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 24. Got it? All the story of Avraham Avinu. He's going to do a word search for each of those five words and see what comes up. Okay. What came up in his word search in Ekev Asher Shema Avraham B'Koli? What? The Akedah. So that's the Akedah. Now look at the next one. Okay, dichtiv ekev shmati. Vayishmor mishmati, kigon mila, dichtiv ba, vatat b'ti tishmor. In the laws of the Akedah, what Hashem to Avram Avinu? It says, vatat b'ti tishmor. You have to keep the laws of my brit. Therefore, what's my vayishmor mishmati according to Ebenezer, according to Rashbam? Brit mila. You see what he did? Yeah, I want you to appreciate it's a totally different approach. You follow? What's Rashbam doing? He does a word search. If I find a word, good. Which one do you think is better? What makes more sense? Looking for topics. You see the difference between the two? Which one do you think makes more sense? Why does Rashbam make more sense? We have a word search and a method. What's going to be the test of which is the better approach? Let's say Rashbam could find all five of them. If we did a word search and went 5 for 5. Wait a second. Let's say we did a word search and found every single word in Avram's life. Would that be good or bad?
Good.
Okay. What's going to happen with what? We don't find them all. Okay. Yeah. Okay, very good. Let's say we didn't have the Akedah, and we had the word Ekev Asher Shemata B'Koli. What he said because of that word is that in Ekev Asher Shemata B'Koli, why is that the Akedah and not everything that Avram does? Why isn't that Lech Lecha? Because here we did, because they have the exact word, you. Okay. Take a look at the next one. Mitzvotai, Kigon, Mitzvah Shmona Yemim, Mitzvah Shmona Yemim, Dichtiv Kasher Tzivah Oto Elohim. If we have time, we take a look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says like this, Vayamo Avram Yitzchak Beno Ben Shmona Yemim, Kasher Tziva Oto Elohim. You follow? God told Avram, I'm going to give you, but God, okay, I'm not, Avram circumcised and sent Yitzchak on the eighth day, like God commanded him. What did he do here in his word search? You follow? He found the word mitzvah, and what did he do? He found it. Okay, one more. Chukatai v'toratai, lefi ikar p'shuto kol ha-mitzvot ha-nikarot. You go and get the arayot v'simun v'dinim v'chachat orkein. What happened here? What problem did Ebenezer, what did Rashbam run into? He did his word search for this, this, and this, and he found them. He did, what happened to Chukatai v'toratai? He doesn't find them. So what do you have to say? Everything else he did is that. Okay? Now, if you look at what he quotes, look at all these different things. You know what mitzvot and nikarot are? The obvious mitzvot, the things you don't need the Bible to tell you. Give me an example of a law that you don't need the Bible to tell you. Yeah? Really? Okay. That's exactly one, right? Perfect, yeah. I mean, we should teach them. The problem is all the religions do that. But before there were religions, that was pretty much understood. They meant to kill people. Yeah. Right? Not to kill, not to steal. But it's better known as the second half of the Ten Commandments. By the way, if everyone knows that without the Bible, what's the big question? Why is the Bible have to tell us something that's obvious? Okay, that's going to be a big question. Okay. So he says, again, Kugon Gezel, see Gezel, Arayot, Aber, V'chimud, V'dinim, V'achnasat Orchim. By the way, you see, it's talking about the second half of the Ten Commandments. Okay? And he throws in Achnasat Orchim, because that was big enough for his question. Okay? Listen, Kulama Yunogin Kodem Matan Torah, Elishit Chachu, V'dipashu, L'Israel, V'chutu, Brit, V'chaman. Okay, all these mitzvot were kept even before God gave the Torah, because they're obvious, and Avram for sure kept them. Then the question is, how come Am Yisrael gets them at Matan Torah? That Rashbam alludes to something very deep later on, yeah.
Their options were logical, but the words seem like they're more broad than just
the actions. Okay. That's it's going to be a toss-up. Therefore, everyone doesn't agree with Rashbam. Basically, Rashbam says something really neat, right?
Aren't the words
it means we have to find more than one thing that he did. Ekev Hashemah, that can be one. That's right, maybe get more than one. Enochinami. Yeah, that's why most people don't want to do with Rashbam. By the way, Chitzkuni goes just like Rashbam, and he does his word search even farther, but we don't have time for that. I want to do the fun one. Okay? Let's go to Rashi for the fun of it, and then we'll do the fun one. Okay. Look in Rashi, Shema Avram B'Koli. See what he says? Kishinitit Yoto. Have it on top left? Every time I tested him, he listened to me. Why is that different? How come he says that? Anyone understand why? How come that's a test? Avram listened to me whenever I test him. Look at the next one. Vayishmor mishmarti, zerot l'archaka al azerot shebetorah. V'gon shiyot arayot, v'shvut v'shvut, v'shvut v'shabbat. Without translating, what's he saying? All the laws, d'ravana. What's so difficult about that? Now we weren't given yet. They weren't made. There were mainly laws that God's going to give later on. He kept. But now laws that the rabbis are going to make up later on, he kept. What else does he have here? Mitzvotai dvarim she'elu ilu lo nichtavu ruinen nichtavot kigon gezo shvichu damim. He said, what Rashi calls mitzvotai is what Rashbam called chukotai, the Torahtai, and what Ebenezer called chukotai. See what kind of mess it's going to get into? And we're not going to do it all now. I want to show you how every parshan goes in a totally different direction. Kukotai v'ran shiye tarah v'omot olam v'shivim aleim go nachilat chazir v'shan shatnez. Like you guys said, something that doesn't make sense. Shein tam v'davar ha'lugzer v'tam melech v'chulei v'torotai l'avi torah shebal peh v'alach v'nosh mitzvah. Basically, what's Rashi say Avram kept? Every single thing that we keep, or we should keep. Now, How, that's almost as funny as what? As things they kept Pesach. What's behind that? If we don't take it literally. What's behind the fact that God, that they say Avram kept all the mitzvot of the Torah, even things that... What's Avram Avinu in essence? Right? Remember, Avram, he's the forefather of the Jewish nation. And by saying that he kept, but he followed everything God told him to do. What's Rashi saying here? Right? Because it's his attitude, Avram's attitude, he's the forefather of our nation, it's though he kept everything that all future generations keep. We'll return to that when we get to Sforno. I want you to appreciate what he's getting at. Okay. Now we'll get to Sforno because it's the main thing we have to say. Okay. Watch what happens with Sforno on the bottom left. By the way, we didn't do it in Ramban. Ramban takes issue with Rashi, as usual, for change. He doesn't, amazing, he rips him apart with all the questions. And he gives his own Pirush, which is beautiful. Later on, but remembering how could Yaakov keep his thought, how did Yaakov marry two sisters, and then he gets really Zionistic. But we'll be glad to know. See this Sforno on the bottom left? Okay, we see where it says Sforno? Not to the right of it, but right on top of it. You see like a little insert on the page? I had to paste it in. You guys follow? Okay. Everyone have it? Plus a K in Sforno. But on top of the word Sforno. Ekev esher shem Avram b'kuli, what that means, b'chol asher tiviti. Does that make sense? What's Sforno saying? How do you translate? You can do a word search, a topic search, what's he do? What's he say? What do you mean, Avram listened to me? Everything that I commanded. That's as general as possible, right? He understands that, not something specific, something general. You see what's happening? Some parshim see there's something specific, the akedah. Some people say something very general. Look at the next one. Vayishmor mishmarti. What's mishmarti mean? Asa tamid hamishmeret hamyucheret mi. What that mean? He did always what? Whatever God commanded. What do you want to do? If there's someone who's going very general, that's Sforno for sure. He's not going for a specific action that Avram did. He's talking about Avram's entire way of life. What's the next one? Sorry, okay. Shein ligmo chesed. Kasher kol orchot Hashem chesed b'emet. Udorot chatayim badarach. Okay? Now, this is, he said basically, what did he do? He kept everything God commanded. And what's God command you to do? To be a mensch, to do chesed. Now look at the last line in the insert, okay? It says, v'zeh asher, v'zeh asa kasher kol b'shem Hashem. Okay? What's it mean? How do we know Avram did that? Whenever it says in Chumash, that what did Avram do? He called out in God's name, and that happens many times in Sefer Bereshit. We'll get to that when you learn Parshat Lech. Avram calls out in God's name. What does it mean to call in God's name? It's to make a name for God. It means to do chesed, to be a nice example. Now listen to what he says. The Shamar Gam came, mitzvotai kumtai v'torotai, shistavu b'nei Noach. What does he have to say? Now, if we get all these specific things, mitzvot hukim and torot, what mitzvot are those? How many mitzvot were there in the time of Avram Avinu? Shem mitzvot b'nei Noach and Brit Milah. Now listen to what he says there. And with that we'll finish. On the line where it says the word Sforno. Mitzvotat Tzuev Adosai, Shistavu B'nei Noach, Uvechen Haya Noed Doresh V'nei Mekayim K'mofet Arabim. Got it? What did he do? Avram kept the laws of Noach, of Mitzvot B'nei Noach, and he kept them, and what else did he do? You understand the words? Uvechen Haya Noed Doresh V'nei Mekayim. What that mean? Noed Doresh, what's Doresh mean? He explained them nicely, and but what did he do? Something very unheard of nowadays. What did he do? Now he kept the laws, and he did them in a nice way. People looked and keep me told, and people were impressed by him. And he explained them nicely and clearly. He was like a mensch. He was someone that everyone looked up to. Now we're going to get to his key point. So it's basically sort of super general. This is what he says now. V'nei li'itzchak tala b'zchut acherim, ata, v'chein l'mata barma v'rbeti yitzaracha. Because we have 2 minutes left, I'll say quickly what Sforno's talking about. All the parshanim up until Sforno, what do they do? One does a topic search, one does a word search, okay? One looks for exactly the same word. Everyone takes a different approach and tries to decide what each word means. But none of them explain what? Why is this happening here in Chumash? You follow? Not that they don't know, but Sforno sometimes takes it a step farther. He doesn't only explain what the words mean, he wants to explain why does God tell this to Yitzchak now? And now we get the difference between Yitzchak and his father. Okay? Avram was chosen, he did tremendous thing. What has Yitzchak done in his life so far? Right. Basically, he's done nothing. Perek Chavav is the first time in Sefer Bereshit that we find Yitzchak becoming active. You know what you say that in Perek Chavav? First he goes down, he has the thing with he goes down, he starts digging wells, he fights with the Philistim, and then he makes peace with them, he makes a treaty, and he's also calling B'Shem Hashem. What Hashem telling Yitzchak? You stay in the land, because I gave it to Avraham Avinu, but don't think for 1 minute that you can what? That you get the land only because you're Avraham's son. Why do you get the land? Ekev Hashem Bukoli. Because Avram did what? Avram did something with his life. He listened to me what I did, and therefore what I want you to do, Yitzchak, you have to be active as well. And Sforno understands this statement in Chumash, not simply a historical statement, but sort of a wake-up call to Yitzchak. God's telling Yitzchak Avinu, it's not enough that you're chosen. Even though you're chosen, you have to do something about it. And therefore, right after this story, right after this commandment, what Yitzchak do? Yitzchak becomes active. He starts doing things. I'm sure you might have heard of whether Avram was active and Yitzchak was more passive. Now, what's behind that? First of all, as far as the Parshan, how's Sforno thinking? It's not enough just to explain what each word means, but I need to understand why these psukim are here in the story. How do they relate to what's going on in the story? And the message behind it is beautiful. What's it about? The book of Bereshit talks about Am Yisrael being chosen. Now, are we being chosen if we just win a lottery? Or are we being chosen for a purpose? Can you follow? Obviously, for a purpose. What does Hashem tell you? You were chosen. But now you were chosen, you got a lot of privileges. You were chosen because you're Avram's son, but you didn't just inherit a company and you got rich overnight. You were chosen because you have a destiny, you have something you have to do. And therefore you have to listen to me, keep my laws for the same reason that Avram did. But don't think that you're chosen only because you're Avram's son. You're chosen because you have a job to do, and therefore it's a wake-up call that you have to get to work. Later, if you have a chance, look at the photo inside when he goes and sees how that affects people's life. I brought that up with in conclusion. That you're going to Israel, Yer Hashem, going on in life next year, and you spent 12 years of Jewish education, you received a lot. Right? And basically everyone, up until high school, is receiving all the time from your parents, from your school and teachers. There's a stage in life that you receive. You're Jewish because you were born Jewish, but you're educated. The second step is take your education and do something with it. And sometimes in high school we receive so much, and we're so used to receiving on the receiving end, we forget what it means sometimes to be on the giving end. And therefore, when I went sort of the bracha that we learned from the Avot, is even though we're chosen and we receive things, we're always chosen for a purpose, do something with it. And just like Hashem had to give Yitzchak a wake-up call. Learn from your forefathers what they did, not just to be proud of them, but also to learn from them and to do something yourself. So Mir Hashem, you guys are going to become adults soon, right? When you finish, when does adult begin? When you finish high school? Okay. You started adulthood and you have a lot of Jewish education. Hopefully take that Jewish education and learn about the mitzvot you're learning and apply them, and not just to be followers and receivers, but also begin to become doers, and hopefully either here in Israel, wherever you're going to be next year, wherever you're going to study, will enhance your ability to be a not just a receiving member of Am Yisrael, but also a giving one.
Thank you very much. Students, if you'll do us the favor, take the sheets and send them down to the end. John, could you pick them up?
I just don't want somebody to knock it. Okay, thank you. Is this yours?
I like that. It's good.
What?
Yeah.
Good. What?
Sure.
It comes out clear, yeah. I know. So now come for Shabbat.